morning, Brooke. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Arrow?
Absolutely fantastic. Very excited to talk with you because we on this side of a flat screen or a big screen, we only assume what's taking place up there. We don't know what really goes into crafting the best scene and making it look so real. And you've got to be there with what you do.
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun of it is making the magic happen where it looks so real and is so fake. Part of what I talk about in the Intimacy Coordinator's Guidebook is the competency someone needs and then like the extra tricks and specialties that might tell a particular story more in a more compelling way.
Yeah, the sensitivity, I mean, it just has got to be just, you know, top notch because, you know, people go in there fearing. In fact, I've read those articles where they go, I was so nervous that everybody was watching. How do you bring the calm to the moment?
Great question. I mean, it's everyone's job. One of the things that we do is we close set for those moments, which means that only people absolutely needed to get the shot can be either in the room or on monitor. Because, yeah, a set can have, you know, 50, 100 people running around doing their jobs. And then for these moments, we try and make it as private as humanly possible so that actors can really focus and not have to worry about all these extra eyes.
There's got to be a lot of negotiating that's going on way before this thing takes place.
Yes, I really appreciate you bringing that up. A really good producer will bring their intimacy coordinator on potentially as early as when auditions are happening to help write the audition postings so that we can make sure that actors that are taking on a role are opting in to the requirements of the role. But then even after that, I will meet with producers and directors early in the process to find out what the vision for the scene is and how they're hoping to tell the story. And then I'll meet with the actors and talk to them about that vision and find out what their boundaries are and see if those things align or if we need to make any adjustments. And if they do align, great. And if they don't, then I go back to the director and say, hey, we've got a boundary here. Here are some other options for how we could tell that story. What do you think?
Wow.
And yeah, there's just negotiating with a lot of different departments. It could be special effects, wardrobe, the AD. Yeah, it's a lot of prep work.
I got to tell you, when I put my hands on this book right away, I started thinking about Orange is the New Black because of the scenes that they tested when they really, you know, brought their story forward. I'm going, how are they getting away with what they're doing in something like this? It's got to have great coaching as well as a coordinator.
Yeah, Orange and the New Black was, I loved that show. And that was before intimacy coordinators. So I'm not entirely sure how they handled that. But what I can say is it's not that no one was ever doing this work. Sometimes wardrobe was doing it. They were standing with robes to hand to the actors. Sometimes the AD was handling it. The issue was that there was no one in charge of it before that was really watching for the intimate storytelling specifically and the boundaries of the actor. So now, since the Me Too movement, there's a position that really focuses on that. And it's a really good thing.
One of the things that I love about entertainment these days is the reality of the human being. In other words, it's not always about models. It's not about perfectly in shape people. How has that changed your position as a coordinator? Because, I mean, we're talking about larger and we're talking about smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the chapters in the book is called Working with Fat Actors, and I wrote it with my partner, Katie Blouse, who is fat. And we wrote it in part because we want to see more fat intimacy. We want to see all bodies. And there are misconceptions about what that could be. You know, fat folks are the only marginalized group that it is still okay societally to demean with a slur.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why it's in the book. But also there's things like the modesty garments, for example. I was talking with Yarit Dor, who is in the UK recently and who created Intimask, that company. And she told me that actually since the beginning of that company creates modesty garments and barriers for actors. When they first started, they were selling a lot of flesh-colored extra small, like Caucasian flesh-colored extra small. And now their sizes go all the way up to 2X in 6 different skin tones, and that either the diversity on screen is really changing, or people are being better served. And they will even custom make a garment at no additional charge to fit any actor.
Yeah.
And I think that's really incredible because, you know, we want to take care of our actors so that they're not worrying about what's hanging out. They're worrying about, or not even worrying, they are focused on their acting.
You know, one of the things that you talked about, Orange is the New Black. We didn't have these intimacy coordinators. Well, what about 50 Shades of Grey? Because I mean, you work with ropes and other kinky things. I mean, it's like they've got to come with rules as well.
Absolutely, and it's interesting. The kink community is not huge fans of 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
What I will say is, bonding is another really good example. Olivia Troy, who goes by Troy, who wrote the chapter in the book on BDSM, was brought onto bonding in the second season because there was so much backlash from the kink community about the representation of BDSM and kink in that story. And they were smart. Those producers were brilliant. They were like, let's find a specialist. And they brought Troy on, not just as an intimacy coordinator, but also into the writing room. And the second season was amazing. And that is the point of the Intimacy Coordinator's Guidebook. If you can find the right person for your project, you're going to make it so much better because you're going to have that expertise.
Wow. Doesn't this book also open the door for actors and future writers and things in the way of going, okay, let's educate you at this level so that when you come into the picture, you know what to expect?
Yes, Arrow, yes. Absolutely. I think a writer or a producer or a director reading this book will, especially young coming up into the mm-hmm. industry or an actor, will better understand how to operate within the industry, and the writers will know better how to write intimate storytelling. For example, sometimes I get a kiss right now that just says a passionate moment mm-hmm. or a steamy moment. And that's great. I love it, to be honest. That means the director and I have so much room to play, especially the director. But also if a writer means for that steamy moment to be something specific, it allows them to start thinking about that in that way. Similar with directors. If a director reads this book, they're going to think more about, oh, now I know how to work with an intimacy coordinator, like where our jobs are different. Because the director is still absolutely the director. It is their vision, mm-hmm. but they can understand the different ways they can utilize their intimacy coordinator to get the best out of what that intimacy coordinator can offer.
Yeah. And it's not just about the passionate kisses. I mean, one of the things that shocked me, it's also about the assaults that take place in the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy Northup wrote the chapter on non-consent and sexual assault. And I wrote a chapter on trauma, both of which we consider specialties because they do require more. They might require a break here or there or not doing as many takes, but there are also other things that might surprise folks about intimacy, like a medical scene, for example. You know, you've got someone on a gurney and you're rolling them in and you're cutting their clothes off. It's not sexual at all, but you are all of a sudden making an actor nude.
Mm-hmm.
So intimacy coordinator for that, or a birth scene, for example. Intimacy coordinators are used for scenes of birth all the time.
Wow.
So yeah, heightened emotion can be part of it. The world of intimacy is much more vast than we might think right away.
Right. Brooke, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
Great. I'd love to. Thanks, Arrow.
Well, you be brilliant today, okay?
You too.